Many years ago, Christmas fell on a Sunday here in Mount Forest, and several churches in town canceled their services. And I thought, what? And the response of people in the congregation that year was, why don't we have a service every Christmas, whether it's on Sunday or not? And so we have ever since. And I think this is one of the best services. It's simple, intimate, warm. It really is one of the best times of worship that we can have in our lives. So it's great to be here, isn't it? Good to be here today. Before we share a devotional thought, I want to just pray, and you can make this your prayer. It's written in the first person. It's from the Valley of Vision. It's a Christmas prayer and a very thoughtful prayer. So make it your prayer as I share it this morning. O source of all good, what shall I render to thee for the gift of gifts, thine own dear Son, begotten, not created? My Redeemer, proxy, surety, substitute, his self-emptying incomprehensible, his infinity of love beyond the heart's grasp. Herein is wonder of wonders. He came below to raise me above, was born like me, that I might become like him. Herein is love. When I cannot rise to him, he draws near on wings of grace to raise me to himself. Herein is power. When deity and humanity were infinitely apart, he united them in an indissoluble unity, the uncreated and the created. Herein is wisdom. When I was undone with no will to return to him and no intellect to devise recovery, he came, God incarnate, to save me to the uttermost, as a man to die my death, to shed satisfying blood on my behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for me. O God, take me in spirit to the watchful shepherds and enlarge my mind. Let me hear the good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore. My conscience bathed in an ocean of repose, my eyes lifted to a reconciled Father. Place me with ox, ass, camel, goat, to look with them upon my Redeemer's face, and in him account myself delivered from sin. Let me with Simeon clasp the newborn child to my heart, embrace him with undying faith, exalting that he is mine and I am his. In him thou hast given me so much that heaven can give no more. Amen. Thoughtful Puritan prayers. Something to reflect upon and enjoy in our lives. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. That's a little bit of the Christmas story. It starts that way, and then it follows along through more of the Christmas story. But it gives us many things to celebrate. What kind of cheap equipment do we have in this church? My goodness, it's just... They can do something about that, can't they? We want to think about Christmas today because it is Christmas. The Advent season has come once again. An Advent season is a very important time in the life of the church. Not all churches celebrate Advent as we do. Some celebrate it in different ways. Some don't celebrate it at all. But Advent is an important time of year. It's a time of preparation as we prepare ourselves for what we're celebrating today. It's a time of waiting, of expectation, of anticipation. And so we find that that waiting time has come. Through Advent, we have been celebrating by reminding ourselves of what is coming. And Elizabeth has led us in that with the Advent wreath, telling children about the Advent wreath and what it means. And their candles are lit there today. They remind us of the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that we have through the gift of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, according to Scripture, through the faith of Christ, which he gives to us. It's his faith that really matters, not whatever we conjure up ourselves. So there are great gifts that God gives to us. Hope, because Jesus Christ is our hope. He is the hope of the world. He is the only hope of the world, and our world desperately needs hope. Peace, because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, gives us a special kind of peace that we need. First of all, peace with God, then with ourselves and with others, and then the peace of God to guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. And our world desperately needs peace. Joy, because Jesus is the joy of our life and our living. You've heard the little saying, Jesus, others, and you. That's joy. And a very wise man, my father-in-law, said, no, it's Jesus and you and nothing in between. Joy. Our world needs that kind of joy. Joy of knowing that they are reconciled to God the Father. Love. Because God has proven his love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And he's given us his salvation. And all of these gifts our world needs. Gifts that we have to give and to pass on. What a delight. What a privilege. So Advent, the time of waiting, the time of anticipation is now past for another year. Christmas is here. Now, today. And so the fifth candle of the Advent wreath has been lit. What is it? Elizabeth's got to tell us. Doesn't she have to tell us? You didn't tell a children's story today. What's the fifth candle all about? The Christ candle. Because Christ has come. What we've anticipated, the hope, the peace, the joy, the love, the things we've been expecting as gifts from God have come in this very special package. In Christ the Son. He is the gift of gifts, as the Puritan prayer said. And we are celebrating his humble birth as he came to be our Redeemer. So in his coming, we remember that God has come to live among us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is, in Dietrich Bonhoeffer's words, God in the manger. And he wrote a sermon for his people while he was in prison with that title. I believe it's now a devotional book of many messages for Christmas. He is God in the manger. And so throughout the season, we read the familiar stories. Last night, it was from Luke in the joint worship service. Maybe you've read Matthew. Maybe you've read the Christmas story in other parts of the scripture. It was read for us from John today by Andre. And they are very special messages for us, and we're familiar with those stories. We're especially familiar at Christmas with Matthew and Luke because they open their gospels explicitly teaching about the virgin birth of Jesus. And that's so important because it makes everything else that we celebrate, not only today but at all times, possible. Without it, our faith vanishes very quickly. And when the very best texts are accurately translated, there is no real doubt that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. No doubt at all. He is God in his preexistence. He is God in his unique person. He is God in his almighty power. He is God in his passion for his creation, for the likes of us. He is God in his position and his preeminence. And today we remember he is God in a manger. Some like to reason from the silence about the virgin birth by John and Paul, and they are the two really chief writers of the New Testament, the chief defenders of the faith. And people like to reason from their silence that we are somehow free to ignore this Christmas miracle, this Christmas mystery, and even to reject it as some kind of fabrication or mythical story. And there are many churches that believe that. This is just myth and story. But what was explicit in Matthew and Luke is implicit, that is implied, in John and Paul and what they write. Paul, for example, speaks four clear times about Jesus' birth, and each time he uses one of two Greek words that we tend to translate born in our English. One more properly translates or reads made, and the other born in the sense of begotten. And interestingly enough, Paul always uses the former, made, rather than the latter, begotten. And that might seem strange to us until we think that what his desire is, he wants people to avoid thinking at all costs that Jesus was begotten of mere human beings, Mary and Joseph. And so he leaves it to Matthew and Luke to stress that Jesus is begotten of God, the Holy Spirit, and born of a virgin. John, and I like that passage that Andre read today of the gospel Christmas narratives. John tends to argue the virgin birth from analogy, and John 1 is the great example. But John is not silent. He is not silent about the virgin birth. This is his Christmas narrative. Jesus is the eternal Word that is God. He is the light and the life that has now come in human flesh to pop tent for a while among us. and to reveal the Father's glory. And as Christians, we are spiritually reborn from above in a similar kind of manner. We are not spiritually reborn of a father's will and a mother's will, but we are born of the Spirit, as Jesus was conceived of the Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. There's miracle in it. Later on in Jesus' life, in his very first recorded public words, he affirms this very truth. He has to be about his Father's business. God is his Father, not Joseph. And so that great truth is affirmed by Jesus himself. Here is God in the manger by miracle, by mystery, by the will of God the Father. God is on a redeeming mission in the world. He's out to redeem his creation, the likes of you and me. And so he comes humbly, born in our flesh and laid in a manger. God in a manger. And you know, this is not something to commercialize, but it's not something to sentimentalize either. And we tend to sentimentalize it by reducing it to just a story of a cute, cuddly baby in a manger. And commercializing and secularizing Christmas upsets many Christians. Does it upset you? It upsets many Christians. But you know, our own sentimentalizing of the story may be the far greater danger. So some assume that they are defending Christmas as a time for faith by stressing the traditional designation of things. And they decorate a Christmas tree, not a holiday tree. And they insist on sharing Merry Christmas blessings rather than holiday greetings or seasonal greetings. And they stress it with slogans that only Jesus is the reason for the season. And all these things are maybe well and good in their place. But isolated by the sentimental, a baby in a manger makes a nice story, but left there, he doesn't necessarily change people's lives. And then Christmas quickly becomes not just secular and commercial, but totally irrelevant. And the world is content to have a baby in a manger. But are we? Are we content to have a baby in a manger? We need to keep the bigger picture in mind. And always remember that he came on a mission with a redeeming purpose in view. And so he humbled himself, coming in our flesh. God in a manger. But he got up out of that manger to in humility become a servant obedient unto death, even death on the cross. God in the manger came to die on the cross that overshadowed that manger and all for our sins, all in order to draw us back to God the Father, to transform our lives and to transform our lifestyles, and radically so. How radically have we been transformed as God's people? He is to be worshiped. He is to be served with all that we are, all that we have. And he is worthy of all that worship right now. Everything we can muster here and now, he is worthy of that. And then infinitely more. So we need to be sure at Christmas time when we celebrate a child in a manger that we are remembering he is God in the manger by miracle, by the will of the Father. And we need to be sure that we are worshipers of the kind God the Father is seeking, ones who worship him in spirit and in truth. And not only at Christmas time, but every day of our lives. Christmas. Jesus has come. God in a manger. Let us adore him today and every day because he did come in our flesh. Because he comes to people now, today, centuries later. Encountering us somewhere along the line in our life journey and offering us his gift of salvation. And because he will come again in power and in glory. So today we embrace God in the manger and his gifts. Hope, peace, joy, love. The real things that our world needs and that we have been given, that we have received, and we need to share. Let's pray.